Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, October 16th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
the latest fallout from the disappearance of that Saudi journalist.
U.S. futures and European equities gain while the sell-off in Chinese stocks continues.
Wall Street awaits earnings from Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and Netflix.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has landed in Saudi Arabia to meet with King Salman, plus a defeat for Stormy Daniels' lawsuit against President Trump. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Milwaukee Brewers shut out the Dodgers in L.A. and lead the NLCS 2-1. Aaron Rodgers rallied the Packers to a last-second win over the 49ers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by PGIM. In the search for Alpha, partner with PGIM, the global investment management businesses of Prudential Financial Inc.
U.S. futures and European equities are higher after a mixed session in Asia. 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 9.5 points. Dow futures up 69. NASDAQ futures up 38. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. CAC in Paris up 0.2%. FTSE 100 down 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 1.25%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up less than 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 3.16%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.86%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.6% or 46 cents to $71.32 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2%, up $1.90 to $12.32.20 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1586 and the yen 112.11. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the latest fallout over the disappearance of that Saudi journalist. Saudi Arabia appears to be in damage control mode, with CNN saying it's preparing to say Jamal Khashoggi died in a botched investigation. Bloomberg's Zainab Fattah has more on that report from Dubai.
They will say that he died, that it was an interrogation. They did not intend to kill him. This was not approved by the high level within the royal court. They may say this, or they may come out and hold firm to their old story, which is they don't know. It remains to be seen.
And Saudi Arabia's benchmark stock index fell more than 3% when it opened today.
And business leaders are pulling out of an upcoming Saudi investment conference in droves. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. Executives from Google, JP Morgan, Ford Motor, Airbus, Blackstone, KKR, BlackRock, Bain Capital, Uber, Viacom, MasterCard, and HP are among those choosing not to attend the event. Microsoft is monitoring the situation, with the CEO, Satya Nadella, expressing concern about what this will mean for the Saudi kingdom.
It's, I think, a real step back, because I was very hopeful for Saudi Arabia in terms of the opportunity for the citizens there, the women of Saudi Arabia, and the small businesses as reforms were going to be put in place.
President Trump is uncertain whether his administration will take part in the Saudi conference, saying that Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin will decide by Friday whether to attend. Bloomberg is also among media partners that have pulled out of the event. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Nathan.
John, thanks very much. It was a mixed session for stocks in Asia today, with Japan outperforming and Chinese equities continuing their slump. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. It was a buy-the-dip scenario in Asia. The MSCI Asia-Pacific Index pushed higher by gains in Tokyo, Hong Kong, Australia and Taiwan, while jitters remained amongst traders in mainland China. The TOPIX Index climbed 0.7%, rebounding from its lowest level since March, while the CSI 300 closed down by 0.8% in China to 3,100 points to remain at its lowest level since the Brexit vote in June 2016. But trading volumes across Asia were low ahead of a public holiday Wednesday in Hong Kong. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Meanwhile, in China, consumer inflation accelerated for a fourth month in September. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
CPI rose 2.5% from a year earlier, in line with a Bloomberg survey of economists, and faster than the 2.3% report in August. Food prices jumped the most since February, but the rise in other household costs slowed. The PPI was up 3.6%, down from the previous 4.1%. Now, that slowdown of factory prices will hurt company profits, where growth is weaker. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Brian. U.S. investment bank earnings are in focus with results from Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley due out this morning. Here with a preview is Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Goldman's sequential numbers will likely show there was a seasonal drop from the second quarter, and the timing of some M&A closings may shift some revenue into the fourth quarter. But strength in initial public offerings should have boosted equity capital market fees. Morgan Stanley's third quarter results were likely boosted by U.S. equity price strength and related underwriting. Analysts are looking for Goldman Sachs to post an adjusted profit of $5.38 a share on revenue topping $8.33 billion. Morgan Stanley's adjusted profit is seen coming in at $1 a share on revenue of more than $9.5 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. We also get results from Netflix later in the day. Paul Sweeney is director of North American Research for Bloomberg Intelligence.
Once again, investors will be focusing on the net subscriber add number. This quarter, they're looking for about 5 million. We think that is a number that they can hit and maybe even exceed. But last quarter, they missed on this very important metric, and the stock took a big hit on that news.
So far this year, Netflix is the best-performing FANG stock. Its results will be closely watched following the recent sell-off in tech.
Shares of Adobe are up 5% in early trading. The software maker gave a bullish sales forecast for next year, signaling its expanding product suite will continue to attract customers.
Shares of Volvo are down 5% in Stockholm. The world's second biggest truck maker says it uncovered a faulty emissions component, and the cost to fix the issue could be significant.
Prosecutors in Germany are fining Audi $927 million over issues related to its diesel vehicles. Volkswagen's Audi unit says it accepts the fine and admits responsibility for deviations from regulatory requirements for some of its diesel cars.
Assets in Italy are climbing after the government reached an agreement on the budget to submit to the EU. That's easing some of the political tension built up in Italy over the past few months. Stocks and bonds in the country are outperforming their European peers this morning. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to find out more of what's going on around the world. For that, we turn to Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has arrived in Saudi Arabia to meet with King Salman over the disappearance and alleged slaying of Saudi writer Jamal Khashoggi. Pompeo landed this morning in Riyadh and was to immediately meet the king over the crisis surrounding Khashoggi, who disappeared 2 weeks ago on a visit to the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. Meanwhile, Defense Secretary James Mattis in Vietnam says he will defer to President Trump and Pompeo about Khashoggi. Mattis says he needs more facts before making conclusions.
I know it's unusual at times in government circles. Some people talk quickly.
Mattis, when asked about President Trump's comments during a 60 Minutes interview that he might be a Democrat, said he has never registered for any political party. Florida Panhandle residents are struggling to locate friends and loved ones who haven't been heard from since Hurricane Michael. President Donald Trump visited the devastated zone yesterday.
We just left Florida, and they're so thrilled with what's happened with our people, our talent. But they're not thrilled about this hurricane because this was brutal. They haven't seen anything like it.
The death toll from Michael's trek from Florida to Virginia is at 17. Adult film actress Stormy Daniels' libel lawsuit over a tweet by President Trump accusing her of a total con job was thrown out by a judge who said the president was engaging in free speech. Paul Allen, who co-founded Microsoft in 1975 with Bill Gates, has died of cancer. Allen also owned the NBA's Portland Trail Blazers and the NFL's Seattle Seahawks. Paul Allen died after a battle with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma at age 65. Officials from North and South Korea and the United Nations are meeting at the border village of Panmunjom to work out the details of disarming one of the world's most fortified borders. Bloomberg's Peter Pei has more from Seoul.
The talks are focused on removing landmines, estimated at more than 1 million, and reducing military guard stations on both sides of the so-called DMZ, or the Demilitarized Zone. The talks come as U.S. has expressed discontent with South Korea for moving forward with inter-Korean project without consulting U.S. officials, who fear such pacts could undermine their nuclear disarmament talks with North Korea. In Seoul, Peter Pei, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, Sunday night was for the Boston sports fan. Red Sox, Patriots playing simultaneously, both won. Last night was for fans in Wisconsin. The Brewers playing Game 3 of the NLCS in L.A., while the Packers hosted the 49ers, and two wins for the Cheeseheads. The Brewers have only lost once in their last 14 games. They downed the Dodgers 4-0 to take a 2-1 series lead. Yuli Chacin pitched into the sixth inning. Bullpen took over from there, but manager Craig Counsell knows the key to their winning has been the rotation.
Our guys that were giving the ball to at the start of the game, they're doing a heck of a job, man. And they are they're setting the tone really for games. They're putting us in a good position. They're putting us in a very advantageous position to use our guys in the bullpen, and then that's going to lead to wins.
Game 4 tonight in L.A. at Lambeau Field. Last night, Packers were getting upset by the 49ers. They trailed late.
Rodgers in the shotgun formation. He gets the snap, and he backpedals three. He cocks his arm, he throws a pass in the back of the end zone. Backpedaling catch. Touchdown! A backpedaling two-handed catch in the corner. Davante Adams, a strike of 16 yards. And Green Bay is an extra point away from tying this game with under 2 minutes to play in regulation.
Westwood won the call, and the Packers weren't done there. An interception, and Aaron Rodgers led them downfield again. And Mason Crosby, who missed five kicks last Sunday, made a game-winning field goal last play. The night after, the Patriots won 43-40. The Packers won 33-30. Rodgers with his second straight 400-yard passing game. The Jets Sunday will try to sweep the three-game homestand. They'll take on the Vikings. They won't have whiteout Quincy Enunwa. He's out with a high ankle sprain. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thanks. Futures contracts pointing to a modestly higher open on Wall Street. S&P futures up 8 points, 0.3%. Dow futures ahead by 64, 0.25%. NASDAQ futures up by 38. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Witham Smith & Brown. Audit, tax, and advisory services helping you and your business to be in a position of strength. Experience the Witham way by visiting Witham.com.
Bloomberg Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are climbing and Treasury yields are ticking higher as investors look ahead to the next wave of corporate earnings and further developments across a host of geopolitical issues. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 9 points this morning. Dow futures up 65. NASDAQ futures up 39. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 3.16%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.86%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.7% or 50 cents to $71.29 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $1.50 to $12.31.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.1575. The yen, 112.07. Netflix, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and Johnson & Johnson are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. And we're looking for reports on industrial production and capacity utilization out at 9:15 Wall Street time. At 10, it's home builder confidence and the JOLTS jobs report. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has arrived in Saudi Arabia to meet with King Salman over the disappearance and alleged slaying of Saudi writer Jamal Khashoggi. Khashoggi disappeared 2 weeks ago on a visit to the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. A hazardous materials team was dispatched to the home of Republican Senator Susan Collins after her husband received a letter with a note saying the envelope contained ricin. The FBI said preliminary tests on the letter and its contents indicated that there was no threat to the public, and the Maine senator and her husband were allowed to stay in their home. It's unclear who sent the letter. In baseball, the Brewers have a 2-1 lead over the Dodgers in the NLCS. Milwaukee shut out Los Angeles 4-0. Monday Night Football, the Packers beat the 49ers in a come-from-behind win 33-30. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're joined on the line by Simon French, chief economist at Panmure Gordon. Always good to have you on in the morning, Simon. And let's go ahead and start with the latest print on UK unemployment, unchanged at 4% June to August. Wages up, though, at their fastest pace in almost a decade. Are you surprised by the growth in wages in the UK?
Yeah, good morning, Nathan. I think those wage increases were expected. It's a tight labour market here in the UK. You mentioned the flat unemployment rate, about 4%, probably below the natural rate of unemployment. So we'd expect a building of wages pressure. I think what's interesting is you put the 3.1% in context. Normally at this stage of the economic cycle, and I know it's a phenomenon you're also seeing in the US, is, you know, you expect wage increases of 4 to 5%. So it's still a low nominal figure. But it's undoubtedly good news, and I think it puts a bit of pressure on the Bank of England to start signalling when the next rate increase will come in the UK. Of course, the problem overhanging all their decision-making is Brexit and the uncertainty there. It means I think the Bank of England are unlikely to move before the second quarter of 2019.
All right. As you say, yeah, Brexit uncertainty certainly looming over the picture. What could that mean for the rate path if a deal comes sooner than expected?
I think it's a good question, Nathan. So if we get an early deal, I think you will see a relief bounce in sterling, which is a heavily shorted currency. And, of course, some of the uncertainty holding back business investment and export growth will start to improve. And I think the Bank of England can start to signal a rate hike potentially at their February meeting, 2019. But I think that, you know, the history of EU negotiations is that things go down to the wire the last minute, and the UK doesn't actually leave till the 29th of March. So I think Q2 is a more likely time for the Bank of England to make its next 25 basis point increase.
Now, of course, UK Prime Minister May was saying that we're in the final stages of negotiations for Brexit. Does final stages mean final few months in your view, or final few weeks?
Final few years, I think, Nathan. Look, let's put this into context. Look,
okay.
Brexit is not a point in time issue. It is it's a constant dialogue that won't end when the UK leaves the EU. The nature of its trading relationship with the European Union will continue to evolve in or outside the Union. So I'm afraid the headlines on Brexit may become less frequent, but they won't disappear completely. And that is why investors need to look at this as a long-term evolution. Are the UK and the EU going to have frictions in their trading relationship that are going to persist past 2019 into the next decade, or are we going to have relatively frictionless trade? Those are the words that you need to look from EU leaders, from Prime Minister May, and I don't think we get that clarity over months. I think we get that clarity over years.
All right, let's take a look at the rate path here in the U.S. We got that read on the budget deficit under President Trump's first full fiscal year. 17% wider gap year over year, the widest gap since 2012. What impact could that have on the U.S. economy?
Well, look, at this point in the economic cycle, and we are undoubtedly end of cycle, a lot of end of cycle indicators, you'd expect the fiscal deficit to be shrinking, may even be in surplus. And that was the pathway ahead of the Jobs and Tax Act at the start of the year. But the deficit blowout, and you talk about a 17% increase, a lot of, you know, let's not focus on the short-term trajectory of the deficit, because what investors in U.S. Treasuries will be focused on is the long-term sustainability of both the US debt and the US deficit. And there you've got to look at whether 3% GDP growth can be sustained, which is the White House's base assumption. If they start to lowball on that, then of course the deficit blows out above 5% of GDP and starts to become very questionable as to whether higher yields are going to be required to clear the Treasury market. And that's going to put pressure on householders servicing their mortgages, corporates servicing their debt.
So just quickly, the Trump administration had said that the tax cuts would sustain the economy long term. Do you see it as more of a bump, or do you see that longer term growth path? Just quickly.
Very quickly, I think key is whether participation rate can pick up in the U.S. It's flatlined. The Trump administration need that to come through to make these fiscal projections work. I'm doubtful, to be honest.
All right, Simon French, Chief Economist at Panmure Gordon. We'll leave it there for now. Thanks so much for your insights this morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. As futures contracts point to a modestly higher open on Wall Street this morning, with S&P futures ahead by 7 points. That's a gain of 0.2%. Dow futures also up by 0.2% or 53 points. NASDAQ futures up 31 points. That is a gain of 0.4%. Price of the 10-year down 3/32, the yield at 3.16, 2-year yield at 2.86%. This is Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by BNB Bank. From Montauk to Manhattan, partnering with business in their financial success with local decision-making, custom solutions, and attention to detail. BNB Bank. Many success stories, one bank. BNBBank.com.
Where'd you see?
Live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks overseas are mostly higher as investors await the next wave of corporate earnings, beginning this morning with Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley reporting results.
Then after the bell, we hear from the first of the big tech companies. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has more on the upcoming results from Netflix.
This report takes on additional scrutiny after last week's technology rout. Netflix is one of the first major U.S. companies to report third quarter results and 2018's best performing FANG stock. Netflix is also looking to redeem itself after missing subscriber estimates in the previous quarter, a whiff that sent the stock on its worst one-day tumble in 2 years. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. Shares of Adobe are up almost 6%. The company gave a bullish sales forecast for next year, signaling the software maker's expanding product suite will continue to attract customers.
San Francisco-based software maker Twilio is buying SendGrid for $2 billion in a deal aimed at increasing its suite of communications tools. The price represents a 19% premium to SendGrid's close yesterday.
In Europe, shares of Volvo are down more than 5%. The world's second biggest truck maker uncovered a faulty component in the emission controls setup of its trucks.
Italian assets are rallying after the government reached an agreement on the budget accord to be submitted to the European Union.
UK wages are growing at their fastest pace in almost a decade. Average earnings, excluding bonuses, rose 3.1% in the 3 months through August. Meanwhile, unemployment held at a 43-year low of 4%.
And in China, consumer inflation sped up for the fourth month in a row. The consumer price index rose 2.5% in September from a year ago. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 7 points. Dow futures up 46. NASDAQ futures up 29. The DAX in Germany's up 0.1%. CAC in Paris little changed. FTSE 100 down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32. Yield 3.16%. The yield on the 2-year 2.86%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 59 cents to $71.19 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.80 to $12.32.10 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1573, the British pound $1.3194, and the yen at 112.07. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
That brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street and Michael Barr with more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Saudi Arabia to speak to its king over the disappearance and alleged slaying of Saudi writer Jamal Khashoggi. It comes as a Turkish police forensics team wrapped up its search of the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. CNN is reporting Saudi Arabia soon may concede Khashoggi was killed at the consulate in an interrogation. Meanwhile, several participants of a Saudi investment conference have withdrawn, including Bloomberg, who is among media partners that have pulled out of the event. President Trump and the First Lady toured Hurricane Michael's aftermath firsthand in Florida and Georgia. Trump visited a Red Cross center in Warner Robins, Georgia.
The wind's almost 200 miles an hour, just wiped houses away.
the foundations, everything gone. So we saw some areas that were hard to believe, actually.
At least 17 people were killed, and it's unclear how many are missing. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is vowing to investigate a state employee's claim that she was sexually assaulted by a man who went on to work in the governor's administration. The Democratic governor also told reporters that he won't conduct a sham investigation or mock victims.
All of us in public life have a responsibility to lead by example in creating a culture of respect where victims can feel empowered to step forward with their stories and to know their stories will be believed and appropriately handled.
In a Wall Street Journal article, Katie Brennan says she tried for a year to get authorities to take action against state education official Albert Alvarez with no results. She is the chief of staff at New Jersey's Housing and Mortgage Agency. Alvarez denies the allegations. Paul Allen, who co-founded Microsoft in 1975 with Bill Gates, has died of cancer. Bill Hilf from Allen's investment firm Falcon says Allen influenced many aspects of modern life, from technology and science to sports and music.
Paul had a tremendously huge vision on how to improve the world. And a big part of our forward plans are to help realize that vision and to continue what he wanted to get done.
Paul Allen was 65. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:35 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the Milwaukee Brewers have only won the pennant once. That was 36 years ago. They were in a different league then. They're now in the National League, and they are two wins away from going to the World Series. Brewers coming off a blown lead in Game 2, scored in the first inning in L.A. on a Ryan Braun double. It stayed 1-0 until the sixth. Travis Shaw, two-out triple. He scored on a wild pitch, and then in the seventh.
0-1 pitch. Fly ball down the right field line. Going back is Puig on the warning track at the wall. It's gone! Orlando Arcia goes the other way. It's 4-0 Brewers.
Brewers radio, 4-0 was the final. The Dodgers had only five hits, though they did have two great chances. Bases loaded and one out in both the second and ninth innings. They couldn't score. NLCS 2-1 Milwaukee. Game 4 tonight coming after Game 3 of the ALCS in Houston. Astros and Red Sox are tied at one. Good Monday night. Our Packers heavily favored, but they trailed the 49ers. Late Aaron Rodgers TD pass tied the game, and then an interception led to a last-second field goal by Mason Crosby, who had missed five kicks last week. Green Bay over the Niners 33-30. Rodgers with his second straight 400-yard passing game. Giants are 1-5. They'll play the next Monday nighter. That will be in Atlanta. Eli Manning feeling the heat, asked how rookie coach Pat Shurmur is doing.
The coach has handled it well. It's obviously tough. It's tough on everyone. No one likes losing. No one likes being in this position. So it's the guys, the teams that are tough and that can fight through it and get through it and make something of it.
Jets Sunday go for a third straight win. They'll host the Vikings. The NBA season tips off tonight with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with a focus on Canada's cannabis boom. Craig Giamona contributed to our coverage for Bloomberg Business Week.
What's happening on the consumer side of things really is that the beverage giants are the first movers on this. You know, they've shown up in a big way under the idea that there's going to be a big market for cannabis drinks.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report and Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, Nathan. Marketing technology firm Bounce Exchange will rent a couple of floors at Lower Manhattan's One World Trade Center. The startup has signed an 11-year lease for about 79,000 square feet on the tower's 74th and 75th floors, according to the Durst Organization and the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. Patients, healthcare systems, even the New York Giants joined physical therapists yesterday, supporting a measure to allow certain trained therapists licensed in New Jersey to perform dry needling. Now, that's a drug-free technique used to reduce pain. They use needles. Acupuncturists and some doctors oppose that legislation. Millions of dollars could be headed to Western Connecticut for protection from the next hurricane. Congress has passed the Water and Infrastructure Act, authorizing more than $6 billion worth of flood protection projects nationwide over 10 years. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thank you, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that two ships loaded with U.S. soybeans are headed to China, even as the trade war lingers.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, we're reporting on quarterly results from Johnson & Johnson.
I'm Naira Chahich on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the UK economy after wages increased at their fastest pace in almost a decade.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Conagra is borrowing $7 billion to finance its acquisition of Pinnacle Foods.
I'm Ed Corey. On WWJ in Detroit, I'm reporting Ford expects to get Chinese approval for a joint venture that will make all battery electric cars.
And those are just some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. A morning with some modest gains for global equities. Futures contracts in the U.S. pointing to a higher open on Wall Street, with S&P futures up 7 points, or nearly 0.3%. Dow futures ahead by 0.2%, or 60 points. NASDAQ futures up by 34 points. That is a gain of nearly 0.5%. Price of the 10-year down 3/32, the yield at 3.16%, 2-year yield at 2.86%. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Marks Paneth, LLP. Marks Paneth, accountants and advisors have helped closely held and family businesses reach their goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/success.
The David Rubin Show. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are climbing, Treasury yields ticking higher as investors look ahead to the next wave of corporate earnings and further developments across a host of geopolitical issues. Meanwhile, the Saudi benchmark stock index is rising, erasing a 4% drop. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 9 points this morning. Dow futures up 71. NASDAQ futures up 38. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 3.16%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.86%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.9%, or 61 cents to $71.17 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $1.50 to $12.31.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1572. The yen, 112.10. Netflix, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and Johnson & Johnson among companies scheduled to report earnings today. And we look for reports on industrial production and capacity utilization at 9:15 Wall Street time. Tenants, homebuilder confidence, and the JOLTS and jobs report. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a Turkish foreign ministry official says Turkish authorities will search the residence of the top Saudi diplomat in Istanbul over missing journalist Jamal Khashoggi's disappearance. The official did not say when the search of the consul's home would take place. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, to meet with King Salman about Khashoggi. President Trump's reelection effort raised $18 million in the third quarter, bringing his total since taking office to $108.1 million, an unusual amount for a president in the first 2 years of his term. In baseball, the Brewers have a 2-1 lead over the Dodgers in the NLCS. Milwaukee shut out Los Angeles 4-0. Monday Night Football, the Packers beat the 49ers in a come-from-behind win 33-30. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:49 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg ETF report, brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. Now here's Bloomberg's Pim Fox.
There's a rivalry going on at Vanguard, and here to tell us about it is Eric Balchunas. He's our ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. What's the rivalry at Vanguard?
It's sort of an intra-passive rivalry. They have traditional index funds and they have ETFs.
And typically the index funds take in a lot more money than the ETFs. But this year, 5 out of 9 months, ETFs have taken in more than the index funds. It's a good problem to have, but it's unusual because Vanguard was known for the index fund, but now their ETFs are starting to punch above their weight and become a bigger part of the firm's future.
Do ETFs attract traders, whereas index funds attract more long-term investors?
Almost always. That's a good rule of thumb. But in Vanguard's case, they have a special kind of investor that tends to be more disciplined, whether they're using ETF or index funds. They probably use ETFs in taxable accounts to take advantage of the tax efficiency of the products.
Thanks very much. Eric Balchunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. This has been the Bloomberg ETF Report. I'm Pim Fox.
All right. Thank you, Pim. It's 5:50 now on Wall Street. Want to get some perspective on the fallout from that missing Saudi journalist. For that and a look at the markets this morning, we're joined in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios by Bloomberg Executive Editors Joe Weisenthal and Tracy Alloway. Tracy, let's start with you. As Secretary of State Mike Pompeo arrived in Riyadh, we saw the benchmark stock index in Saudi Arabia drop as much as 4%. Now it's paired many of those losses. What are investors looking for now as these tensions sort of come to a head?
Yeah, well, the slight recovery this morning seems to be driven by that report from CNN saying that the Saudis will essentially change their tune on what happened to Khashoggi. They're going to say that his death was the result of a botched interrogation. I'm not entirely sure I understand the thinking there, because the other report we're getting is that that admission or the change in their story is coming from the actual king of Saudi Arabia. Meanwhile, the crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, is the one who's really been driving those hardline denials. So if anything, it seems like we're starting to see a little break of dissent among the Saudi royal ranks.
Yeah, it is interesting to see these sort of conflicting reports come out, especially before we saw that CNN report. President Trump was floating the idea of rogue killers perhaps being involved in Khashoggi's disappearance. Joe, what does this do to the image of this reforming crown prince, this young crown prince who's come on the stage in Saudi Arabia?
Well, you can really see the effect that it has in that conference that's coming up in a few days and all the people who have dropped out. We've got more names just out this morning. The CEO of Credit Suisse, according to our reporting, will no longer be attending. And you think about, like, what is the purpose of all these conferences? And there was the floated idea of an Aramco IPO. They want to build this big tech city in the desert. They would really like a lot more foreign capital. It's pretty clear. And when you see bankers and CEOs and, of course, media organizations, Bloomberg being one of them, no longer attending this event, it really speaks to the toxicity, at least at the moment, of the regime. Now, of course, that could pass, and maybe in 3 to 6 months or a week, a lot of these bankers will be back to doing business with Saudi. But right now, they're thinking, yes, there's a lot of money there, potential, but that it's just not worth taking it.
Yeah. And sorry, can I just jump in?
Sure.
I just wanted to jump off of what Joe was saying, because it's really difficult to overstate the importance of Davos in the desert. I was there last year, and not only is it Saudi Arabia's opening party, it was also essentially Mohammed bin Salman's coming out party, if you will. He was there, glad handing all the executives. He was taking selfies with all the attendees. It was as much about him as it was Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, so what does this do overall for MBS and for the clout of the Davos in the Desert event? I mean, could this have a long-term impact, Joe?
I'm going to hand it to Tracy. No, Tracy was there last year, so sure. I'm going to defer to Tracy. I expect she has the right call on that one.
Well, I mean, it's not good news, is it, when all these people who were clamoring for your money just a year ago suddenly won't even attend your flagship event. The question is whether or not, of course, they return, whether there's a way for Saudi Arabia to somehow rehabilitate itself in the eyes of the world. It's interesting to me that this seems to have been the straw that, oh God, this is terrible, that broke the camel's back, given that we'd seen plenty of bad behavior from Saudi Arabia before. people seem to forget that they had allegedly kidnapped, essentially, the Lebanese Prime Minister, Saad Hariri, just last year. Of course, there's the ongoing war with Yemen, the blockade of Qatar. There's a long list of bad behavior that foreign investors and governments had been willing to overlook. But now you're sort of getting these social swell, a change in the norms, I guess, that suddenly makes Saudi Arabia no longer acceptable.
All right, let's turn to the overall market picture. Joe Weisenthal, I know you have a take on this, because we're seeing futures contracts point to a modestly higher open as the S&P 500 is in the midst of its worst month since August of 2015. What are you looking for from earnings?
Well, you know, we get Netflix earnings later today, and I think that's going to be a really important one, because if you recall last quarter, a lot of those big high-flying tech stocks really bombed after earnings. Netflix was one, Facebook, of course, another, Twitter, another. And then when you look at the volatility that we've seen over the last several weeks, the tech stocks have really taken it on the chin once again. There appears to be, at least temporarily, this kind of rotation underway in which investors have been selling the biggest winners of the last years. A lot of popular hedge fund stocks, of which Netflix, of course, has been one, really among the biggest losers during this sell-off. So people are going to really be watching closely to see what kind of momentum that Netflix has. You know, Netflix, it's important in some sense to, you don't want to overstate it because it's unique in its business model and its situation, unlike some of the other big tech stocks. It's not massively generating cash flow. On the other hand, it really is the sort of symbolism of the hope for growth at all costs, and this idea that if a company can just grow like crazy, then that's all it has to do. And so in that way, it really does reflect a lot of the tech optimism that's been embedded in these shares. So I don't think there's any question that that's going to be the big story of the day, and what they say will sort of sort of shade how people see the rest of the stocks in that area.
Yeah, and as we focus on tech after the bell, we're looking at a couple more financial earnings reports coming out in just a couple of hours. What have we learned from that sector so far that'll be important for Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs later this morning, just quickly?
Well, the big banks suggesting mostly things are fine. The economy's looking good, credit's looking good, no real problems. But, of course, with companies like Goldman and Morgan Stanley, going to be a lot more interest on trading and capital markets, things like that. And that is a highly uncertain, wide range of expectations. And so we'll find out shortly what's really going on there.
Certainly will. Joe Weisenthal, Tracy Alloway, Bloomberg Executive Editors, thanks for this morning. Karen.
Across the Bloomberg right now, Nathan, UnitedHealth reporting a third quarter profit that beat analyst estimates, coming in at $3.41 a share. It also boosted its outlook for the year, and we'll be watching those shares in early trading. And watching futures this morning, S&P futures are up 10 points, Dow futures up 87, NASDAQ futures up 41, 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 3.16%, and NYMEX crude oil moving lower, down 0.8% or 58 cents to $71.19 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.20 to $12.31.50 an ounce. The euro at $1.1570. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.